And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So for the next 15 minutes, we'll go over ways to enhance or improve your current and or future retirement income. Now, today's show is a little bit of a sad topic, death and the survivor. So once a loved one departs, passes away, the financial responsibility is left to the survivor and or maybe family. Now, it's not all meant to be a sad, down show today, but perhaps things you should know, or what takes place when your partner leaves, passes away. That's why I had rebroadcast last week an episode of the Heritage Law Firm, Blair McKinnon, who joined us back in the fall, explaining some of the reasons why we have a will and what happens when. So in today's show, we'll focus on what happens when and if your spouse passes away. It's not the most enjoyable topic, but one that maybe you should know. So very recently, just back in February, a few weeks back, just after doing the show here, a few clients would call in wanting to talk about investments and some ideas. And then I get a call from a client of mine, been with me for years. His wife of many years had suddenly passed away, quick illness. You know, it's just over a year ago. It's late February last year, just the start of the big COVID lockdown. And both were in my office, and she was laughing and full of life, talking along. We were adding more investments and seg funds and RSPs and transferring pensions. And she just retired. Had a locked-in retirement account, a LIRA, converting that to her LIF, Life Income Fund, to begin her retirement pension. Sort of wanting her husband maybe to retire in a couple of years. The three of us were kind of joking about our next vacations, and my wife and I had had a trip booked to Tampa to see my favorite hockey team, the Lightning, and end of March, first part of April, and they were talking about heading for another cruise, but those plans looked doubtful at the end of February. But within the next 2 weeks, the whole world stopped. Now, in July, his company installed two large bay windows in my house, five panes aside, big bay windows. I'd spent my vacation money on home renovations. That's what a lot of people did in 2020. This was July. In August, his wife took ill and didn't know what was wrong. It wasn't COVID, but something was wrong. And things got worse very quickly. And she passed away within a few months, February. Never really sick before. Gone at 62. Life is life. It can be very sudden. So the purpose of today's show is not, again, a downer. They had enjoyed a great life together. It should have been a lot longer. I mean, 62 is way too soon. 82 is too soon, but 62 is way too soon. But life is life. And the next day is going to happen regardless of whether you are ready for it or not. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. And as survivors, the ones left behind, what happens to funds, accounts, investments, when one of the very few things in life that is guaranteed finally happens? We'll be back in a moment to dig into the details and begin.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination Show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. So this particular couple, wife suddenly passes away, early 60s, and this couple could be any couple, anywhere at any time, somebody else, somewhere else. But it hits home more when it's someone you've known who's been a bit in your life, a small bit perhaps even as clients, and for certain it hits extremely hard if it's a family member. So the first item on the agenda, life insurance. Yes, they had it. In this case, it was with me. It doesn't matter where they had it, but they were insured. And never really thinking either one of them are going to use it at this point, maybe at some point in their life. And usual, the thinking is it's the man or the husband. He figures he'll go first. That's usually how we think, because we want to protect our families financially if we're not around to do so. But in this case, it was the other way around. It was a decent-sized policy, so financially, things will be okay. And how much insurance should we have? Well, it comes down to affordability based on age and health and income. But in your 50s, as they were, not too late to add a 25 or 30-year policy. The odds are much higher you're going to use it than the first time around to cover that sudden lost second income. Now, nothing replaces a life, but you are simply replacing sudden lost or future income, covering bills or whatever. It's now just you, yourself. The life insurance claim process is simple. Death certificate, sometimes within the first 2 years of a policy, and depending on the size of the policy, say $1 million or more, the death happens quite quickly. Yes, the insurance company might want to review that. But in this case, it's well beyond the two-year checkpoint. You've been medically cleared before you take personal life insurance for most policies. So the check gets issued to the husband, a tax-free lump sum. He can invest some, pay something off, pay some bills, keep the rest. The sun has to come up, and the sun still goes down, and life is life. Now, registered accounts, RSPs, RIFs, LIRAs, LIFs, those are already easily transferred. So, for example, an RSP simply transfers to the spouse. There's no taxes. No one's making a withdrawal. It's simply a transfer, like from one bank to another, one spouse to the other. Let's say the husband was about 70. Let's say his wife was 64 and she passed away. Her RSPs would be transferred to him, but by age 71, the husband would have to convert his own RSP to a RIF, and what hers formerly was, merge together and start taking withdrawals. Now, prior to her death, he could have used his wife's age, if younger, to lower his limit if he wanted to take money out. But now that the spouse is gone, there's no younger person option. You are the only one. So in an RSP, you get to keep your own, and the spouse is transferred to you. What was once both to be split is now one. And the same goes for the RIF. Now, perhaps she was withdrawing money from it. Perhaps her income was lower taxes. Now it's all as one. And depending on your age, if he is under 70, you could stop the RIF payments, but by age 71, all RSPs would be combined, turned to RIFs, and the survivor cannot opt for a lower age or split income. There is no one else to split it with. Your CPP drops. Yours stays the same, but their surviving spouse gets 60% of the deceased CPP, so a drop of 40%. OAS, old age security, gets cut back to one. There is no transfer of an OAS. Old age security is based on the years you live in Canada, not based on the years working or income. Two people get two, one person gets one. So income may drop, tax is no longer split. So you might want to consult with a financial planner or a tax consultant just to make sure of what your situation is. Maybe thus a reason to have life insurance in place, that lump sum money that was tax-free. It's not just for younger people to cover mortgages. It's for everyone. It's for life. Now, if your spouse had a life income fund, a locked-in pension, as was in this case, you can take out a minimum and a maximum. You can take out each year based on your age. Now, both a LIF and a RIF have the same minimum, but a RIF, registered income fund, does not have a ceiling or max. A life income fund, LIF, does. So say at age 65 with a life income fund, you have to take it out at least 4%, but no more than 7%. However, a life income fund, L for locked, becomes unlocked after death. When it's transferred to the surviving spouse, it becomes a RIF now. Now that you're all alone, you can withdraw at least the 4%, but you can take out 7, 10, 15, whatever you want or need. Remind you, it's still taxable. Tax-free gets transferred, tax-free to the survivor. It's a great option to invest in, great investment. Load it up to the max if you can, both of you. Let's say both of you had hit your personal limit, $75,500 contribution. Both accounts had done well and had grown to, let's say, $100,000 each right now. Her $100,000 would join yours. You'd now have $200,000 tax-free. And while you both could have added $6,000 a year, total of 12, you still have the $200,000 combined, and you can still continue your own $6,000 contribution. Still no taxes. And if you're in your 60s, as this couple was, hopefully time for the survivor to see that amount grow even more. Life still goes on. Non-registered accounts, not tax-free, not an RSP, not a tax sheltered plan of any type, just an investment account, for the most part, probably should be held as joint. One of you goes, the other one simply takes over and continues. It avoids the tax bills at that time, probate, transfer cost. The survivor simply takes over. Easy transfer. There were two of you, now just one. Segregated funds, SEG funds, which can be in all the above, the RSPs and tax-frees, those Fidelity funds or whatever fund company you choose, all life insured. Whether RSP or tax-free or joint or held as individual investment account, all will automatically bypass probate along with good growth, That's a big deal. Someone dies. She or he had $250,000 over and above all the RSPs and tax freeze. That $250,000 all goes directly to the other spouse within a week or two in seg funds. What if you're alone and you have money outside of seg funds, non-registered, no beneficiary, not in seg funds? They are subject to probate. They're an asset. You still have to go through a will. It's a process, it's cost, it's delays, and it seems like everyone takes a piece out before the survivor gets theirs. Seg funds do not require that. If you're alone, you can name your two sons, your two daughters, and their kids, and whatever is left in that investment account when you pass on goes to them directly. That percentage that you had set for each one, 30% for you two, and 15% for you two, and 10% for you, whatever. Those children could live out west. They could live in the States. It doesn't matter. Money is funded to them directly within about a couple of weeks after the claim. No fees, no cuts, no delays. And something else, if you have children that you don't like or feel they don't deserve what you've worked for, you can set up your beneficiaries in your SAG funds and put in who you want. As long as that total adds up to 100%. You two get 40, you get 20, and you don't get any. Everyone else who's not on that list gets cut out. It can't be contested. Now, your house or other assets, they must be named in a will. There's a cost, there's a probate, and this could be lengthy. And if someone is left out, perhaps there might be a court challenge, but not with SAG funds. What if you're a couple getting up there, 70? Your main house, you have a main house, maybe you have a rental income as well. That second house, hard to dispose of if one of you go rather suddenly, unexpected. It might be hard to sell on the spot. It might take a price beating or a year to sell. It's a distressed sale. Maybe now, while the markets are really high, there's bidding wars, you get your price plus. Put the proceeds into a tax-free all the way to the max, life insured funds. The rest in non-registered accounts, SAG funds, all life insured, bypassing probate, and you keep adding from this account to your tax-free every year. But if one of you suddenly passes on, it's very easy for the survivor to access funds the very next day. Trying to split the house in half or dividing it between family members or forcing to sell due to a lack of liquid cash could be an extra strain. Losing a loved one was tough enough. We'll be back in a moment to wrap it up.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you change to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:15 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
So while we, or at least myself, much prefer the topic of growing your money for your current or future retirement income for a long time, however, we don't all hit that age of 90 plus. For everyone, plan ahead because, well, you just don't know. So speak to your advisor, your estate planner, your life agent, your lawyer. Have your plan in place. Have it updated. As financial advisors, we're there for you, investing in your future. In the case of my friend and client who lost his wife last month, we just step in. We take care of the financial paperwork and details, ease what we can, try to make things run as smooth as possible, help to take some of that strain or burden off. Now, there's more to go through in what we could cover today, but you have a general idea of what takes place. And it's tough to admit, I guess, but I have to agree with the old saying, only two things in life are truly guaranteed, death and taxes. Hopefully, we can delay one and lower or defer the other for as long as possible. I trust you learned something from today's show. You can visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879. I'm Roger Hamilton. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.